You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
As a midsummer's morn, they call her Dawn. Dawn, go away, I'm no good for you. Oh, Dawn, stay with him, he'll be good to you.
What a rousing way to open tonight's Political Cesspool radio program, the live broadcast for the evening of Saturday, July the 12th. I thought I would go ahead and get my obligatory plug for the music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons out of the way right here at the top of the show so we can get down to business for the remaining 3 hours tonight, and it's going to be another barn burner, I promise you that. I'm your host, James Edwards. My favorite song of all time there, Dawn, Go Away. And actually, I had a reason tonight to play that song. I received what perhaps... You know, out of all these years we've been doing this, a decade now, I couldn't tell you how many emails and letters we've received, and we're grateful for all of them, but I received perhaps what was the most meaningful email of my career this week. I was personally responsible for a fan of the Political Cesspool buying a Best of Four Seasons album. And here's what the email reads. The title of it was a little disconcerting. It reads, I blame you. And then I opened it. James, I blame you. You are most certainly guilty. I've enjoyed the Political Cesspool bumper music for some time now, and I heard you go on about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, so I decided to go ahead and buy a Best of CD. Now, the citizens of this once great nation will have to see a 50-year-old man driving down Interstate 95, drumming his steering wheel while singing in a falsetto voice. On top of that, my wife's name is Dawn. So you can guess which song I sing to her. You, sir, are a bad influence. And that comes from Hank in Florida. And Hank has been supporting this show faithfully for a many number of years now with his financial contributions and then some. So, Hank, my friend, welcome to the club. It's great to have you. And as a Four Seasons fan officially now, if you weren't one before then, and to Dawn, I mean, what a name. I mean, of course that song has to be sung to her. And that wasn't the only email I got this week, folks, along those lines. You know, I was plugging the fact last week that I had gone to see the Jersey Boys movie, which is in nationwide release right now, and it's in a theater near you, no matter where you live in America. The film adaptation of the story of how this group came together. And keep in mind, we've had some of the Four Seasons on as guests on this show. But Michael writes, I'm a big fan of the show. Heard you mention the movie Jersey Boys. Saw the movie and loved it as well. And I even saw it on the 4th of July, which I did last week. All right, now that that has been done, and thank you, Mike, and thank you, Hank, for those emails and for everyone else who wrote in this week. As always, I am just so blessed. We say it a lot because we mean it a lot. To have the audience that we have, an audience that has taken us to heights that I never dreamed possible, and carrying, helping us carry and deliver a message to a global audience through syndication nationwide here in select markets, thanks to the Liberty News Radio Network on the AM and FM dials, and of course the internet opens up the entire world, and we have listeners all throughout Europe, Australia, Canada, wherever our people live, South America even, and Asia. So wherever our people are, they can listen online, and we continue to grow thanks to people like Hank and Michael. And I put a chart up on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, this week. Where do conservative Christians live? I mean, we are conservatives. We are Christians here in the hosting staff of this Political Cesspool. Doesn't mean that you have to be necessarily, but that's what this show is certainly geared towards catering to. And the answer is the South. You look at this image, and I would encourage you to do so. It's really striking. It has shaded in maroon type color areas that are hotbeds for Christian conservatism, and shaded in basically a light white color or areas in the country where I guess you have more secular left-leaning individuals that don't believe in God or Christ or whatnot. And you look here, and the former states that made up the Confederacy are just blood red. I mean, that is where the Christian conservatives live. And then there is Utah, which is more red than any of the southern states. It's incredible. But the Confederate states, save South Florida and the very South Texas, are just covered up in red. So is Oklahoma and Missouri. They are more southern in terms of their religious makeup and political makeup than Midwestern. And then there's Utah and southern Idaho. So that is what's left of America, folks. The America that we knew it. Well, I was born in 1980. The America that Keith Alexander and Eddie Miller and Winston Smith knew when they were growing up. That's what's left of it. And we need to preserve that. We need to preserve a home for our people. And this map, again, just a striking illustration about how Dixie and Utah and Oklahoma, and Missouri was a border state, a semi-Confederate state. But it's a culturally distinct nation within the United States. And that is the first prerequisite for nationhood, is to have a culture that is separate from that of the surrounding area. And it's a shame that so much of America has been taken from us, ideologically speaking, and certainly now demographically speaking and culturally speaking and racially speaking. We are losing this country. And we will be talking more about that tonight. We're going to continue our coverage of the invasion this evening here on the Political Cesspool radio program. I also have a quick clip, if we can work it in before the next commercial break. I was watching television with my wife last week, and an ad for the United States Air Force came on the TV, and I'll let you listen to it, and then we'll talk about it.
When I was little, I wanted to grow up and help people.
When I was young, I wanted to save lives.
I wanted to make a difference in the world.
When I was growing up, I wanted to serve my country.
My name is Captain Shawnsay Tarrant, Air Force physician.
I'm Airman First Class Ashley Denton, Air Force firefighter.
I am Lieutenant Colonel Gail Crawford, Air Force JAG.
I'm Captain Cynthia Nogueras, and I'm an American Airman.
All right, so that is an ad now that is out and encouraging people to sign up for the United States Air Force, and there is not a red-blooded male among them. Now, what kind of person do you think of when you imagine a pilot in the United States Air Force? I hope you didn't think of a male, and I certainly hope you didn't think of a white male. Out of the three women that were featured in that piece, two of them were black, and one of them was mestizo. And, you know, that's what they're pushing now. I mean, that is the makeup of the United States Armed Forces. This is what people are supposed to think of, and this is what you're supposed to think of when you think of our military and the Air Force, you know, which is even more critical in terms of, you know, having to be able to think on your feet. I mean, to pilot a fighter jet. And this is what you're supposed to think of now. Listen, we're going to talk about it more. I got a little bit more to say about this. Cultural Marxism, folks. What are you going to do? We'll be right back.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, James Edwards here with you. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight and as much fun as you can have covering stories the likes of which we have to present to you on here and from the perspective that we have to present them to you because no one else will, and that's why this show stands apart from all the others in the mainstream media, the Liberty News Radio Network, why it stands apart. The truth is told here, and the truth is told in love, and there are some inconvenient truths that we have to mention, like what we were covering in this last segment. It is not right, it is not natural to showcase and promote women soldiers. You know, and in the case of this United States Air Force ad that was promoting people to join up for the U.S. Air Force, you had two black women. One of them was a doctor, naturally, because that's what you think of. And one of them was a pilot, and then you had a mestizo woman who was a United States Air Force fireman. And, you know, what kind of a woman, with respect to women, because we love women, but what kind of a woman dreams of becoming a soldier? You know, obviously one that has thoroughly been infected with political correctness. Now, I realize that this commercial is mostly propaganda, because I'm sure if you look at those in the cockpits of a fighter jet in the United States Air Force, even in this degenerate day and age, you're still going to find a lot of white males. And you see that in commercial air travel, too. I mean, as much as they want to push this in government-level bureaucracy, you know, jobs for minorities at the expense of perhaps better qualified candidates, when it comes to something where life and death is in the hands, you maintain a certain status quo in something like piloting. But propaganda notwithstanding, if this was a true picture of what the United States Air Force was trending towards, I can't help but wonder how these quote-unquote airmen would have fared against, let's just say, the Luftwaffe, for instance. Now, could you imagine, and people are going to say, oh, well, here comes some, you know, neo-Nazi, pro-neo-Nazi rhetoric. No, I mean, you know, facts are facts. The Luftwaffe was a hell of a fighting force. In World War II, the German Air Force. Could you imagine a bunch of women going up against the Red Baron, for instance? And I know that was World War I, but you get my point. I mean, the regime is lucky that political correctness hadn't yet reached its terminal phase, back in a time when this country still picked fights against legitimate opponents. Things would have turned out very differently. Can you imagine a bunch of women? Now, as I say before, I love women. They have natural, God-given attributes and qualities that men don't have. We can't make it without women. They can't make it without us. It's a symbiotic relationship when proper roles are defined and you work in cooperation with one another to raise a family. And there's just so much that women bring to society, but being a soldier is just not one of them. Could you imagine these women storming the beach at Normandy? They wouldn't have made it out of the boats. But beyond that, what kind of barbarians send the bearers of children into war? You know, this is not progress. This is not a progress in a decent, healthy society. It's disgusting and shameful. Decent societies protect their women. Women soldiers. You know, this is more than just a television commercial. When I was filming the reality show for the Swedish television network late last year, and it aired early this year, but I was in Nashville last fall and filming this, and we were doing a scene in downtown Nashville, and I've shared this story on the show before, but I saw you wouldn't call it a platoon, but it was a collection of service people. I can't say service men because I only counted about two or three men in this contingent of about 30 or 40 so-called soldiers, and they were wearing their fatigues, and they were going to get some lunch somewhere. And God strike me dead if 8 out of 10 in this crew weren't women. It's just sick, folks. I mean, there's nothing else you could say, and this commercial was sick, and it's a shame. And these women aren't doing themselves a service. They'll grow up bitter when they age and find out that it wasn't fun to play soldier and pretend to be a man in their best years. They'll be sorry. When they grow up childless and husbandless, they'll be sorry. Anyway, what are you going to do? Nation of immigrants. You know, that let's talk about that for a minute. And we only have a minute or two left here. On cue, on the 4th of July, no less, Barack Obama trotted out the old, "The United States has always been a nation of immigrants" line. That's not right. That is not correct. To an extent, I guess it is, and as Ramsey Paul points out, that every country has been based on immigration at some point in its development. The point of countries, though, once they become developed, is to limit immigration so that the people of the founding stock have self-determination. And if you have unlimited immigration, particularly that from alien countries, then you no longer have a country. And many Americans certainly don't want the United States to look like Africa or Mexico. We want a homeland for our people. And I think that all the peoples of the world should have their own homelands to where they can celebrate their culture and heroes and traditions in the way that they want. But that includes European Americans as well. And a poster, a commenter to our blog really brought out a great comment when tackling this whole nation of immigrants concept. To say that we are a nation of immigrants is to say that there has never been an America apart from immigrants. It is to put America out of existence as a historical existing nation that immigrants and their children joined by coming here, a country with its own right to exist and to determine its own sovereign destiny, which includes the right to permit immigration or not. In reality, we are not, even in a figurative sense, a nation of immigrants or even a nation of descendants of immigrants. And this is where he makes a point that should really stick in the minds of people. The founding stock of this country were not immigrants. They were colonists. The immigrants of the late 19th and 20th centuries came to an America nation that had already been formed by those colonists and their descendants. Therefore, to call America a nation of immigrants is to suggest that America, prior to the late 19th century wave of European immigration, was not America. It was to imply that George Washington and Robert E. Lee, who descended from the original colonists, were not real Americans. And there is a difference between colonists and immigrants. Colonists build a nation. Anybody can come here and want to live here. That doesn't make them an American unless they assimilate to the best of their ability and to our traditions and respect that. And we certainly are not having that with this flood, this invasion from the third world, where they bring their traditions, their failed cultures, their language. And they are colonizing us. But no, we're not a nation of immigrants. And people would say, well, you know, this whole thing, there were Americans here before us. No, the Indians, the American Indians, did not think of themselves as Americans. The first Americans were the people, you know, the parents of Virginia Dare, the people who founded Jamestown and Williamsburg and the lost colony of Roanoke. Those were the first Americans. Even before there was the United States of America, those colonists were the first Americans. And yes, they came here. And they were attacked by the Indians, and that was at a time when the world was still developing, and it was just common practice that you claim what you can for yourself. But those Indians didn't consider themselves to be Americans. They considered themselves to be Choctaw or Cherokee or Crow or Creek or Seminole or whomever. And guess what, folks? They fought with one another. This was a vast wildlife preserve before the colonists, the European colonists got here, and those Indians fought with each other. There were no mound builders. They took land from each other. They genocided each other. There were no mound builders left when the colonists arrived on these shores because the Cherokee had exterminated them. And so, anyway, this whole nation of immigrants stuff is nonsense to a certain extent, and going to hear a quick commentary from Ramsey Paul about this when we come back that we'll put a cap on it for now, and then we're going to revisit immigration in the third hour. A lot more to come tonight, folks. We're just getting started.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, our intrepid correspondent from Washington, D.C. for the Political Cesspool, Peter Scoop Stanton, will be with me for the remainder of the first hour. Winston Smith will be with me for the entire second hour. Winston Smith, with the aid of a courtroom transcriptionist overcoming his lack of hearing to host the show with me during tonight's second hour, he'll be coming up with an invited guest. Exciting stuff. Stay tuned for that. And then Eddie the Bombardier Miller going to come in and bat cleanup tonight in the third hour. Keith Alexander still taking care of a few business matters with his law practice, and he will be back with us in a couple of weeks. We're missing Keith badly, but if I do say so myself, we're still continuing to deliver to you a scintillating broadcast despite missing one of our key components, and the show must go on. Keith will be back soon, and he can't get back soon enough. Before we welcome Scoop to the broadcast, I want to quickly wrap up my thoughts on the Nations of Immigrants concept. Actually, Ramsey Paul, one of our friends, had a quick 3-minute video in which he offers his take, which is as good as mine for all intents and purposes. Let's listen to what he has to say, and then we're going to go to Scoop.
So Obama gave this speech, and he gave the usual meme that we must remember America was always based on immigrants. Everyone is an immigrant in America unless you're a Native American. That's the usual thing that they say over and over and over. And my response to that is, so what? And I think that needs to be the response. So what? That's one of the most powerful things you can say. So what? Because the left, they come up with these things that sound good at the surface level, but they don't really make any sense. And let me do another example they do. Let's say if you're comparing intelligence, I won't even use white people. Let's say you take Asians and Africans, and you see the intelligence difference, and everyone's like, whoa, 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 you gotta stop here, because you have to remember we all bleed red. And you know, that sounds really good, because see, that's a true statement. But it's a, so what? It doesn't mean anything. Cows bleed red. Giraffes bleed red. What has that got to do with intelligence or ability? It has nothing to do. But it sounds good because you think, hey, we all bleed red, so we're all the same. But if you think just a little bit about it, it makes no sense. That's the way this whole thing is. America is a nation of immigrants. Well, that's true, but so what? What nation isn't? Every nation in the world is based on immigrants or people moving. That's how they got there originally. Even the so-called Native Americans, and they weren't Native Americans because they weren't Americans. America didn't exist back then. America's not the dirt, it's the people, it's the culture. They were Indians, and that's how they referred to them. They referred to themselves like Comanche, Cherokee, not Native Americans, so stop that. But even they migrated in, pushed other people out. In Europe, you guys ever read about the Huns or the Germanic tribes coming down on the Romans or back and forth, the Turkish people? It's always been this mess of people pushing each other back and out. That's how it happens. So every nation is based on immigrants, so that's a stupid statement. And even if it is, it's like, well, so what? The purpose of nations, right, that's why we have a country, is so that we can have our self-determination. That means we can be with people like ourselves. We can that share our values, our language, our culture. Let me use another example so I don't offend you, because every time I bring up white people, it's like white supremacist. So I'll bring up non-whites, okay? You have Japan and you have China. Should Japan just allow everyone in China to come into Japan and become a citizen? I mean, that's basically Obama's position in the United States, that anyone that wants to come here can be a citizen, which I say, why are we making it so difficult for them? Why are we, their children involved, Obama, why are we forcing them to make that whole trip? Why don't we just say anyone that wants to be an American in the world can be an American, right? That'd be fair. They'd probably go for that. The reason is because you want to have self-determination. Go back to the China and Japan nation example. If Japan accepted all the Chinese, they would no longer speak Japanese. They would no longer exist. They would intermarry. They would become extinct, and it'd be a province of China. They don't want that. They want their self-determination. It's not based on hate, and that's what we want as a people. So yeah, we're a nation of immigrants, but we just don't want everyone. We don't want to look like Mexico. We don't want to look like Africa. At least most of us don't. We want an option where we look like Americans and be like Americans. That's what we want. We want self-determination. So yeah, we're a nation of immigrants, but when they say that, the proper answer is, so what?
So Ramsey Paul there concedes to an extent that, okay, we were immigrants. If you count the people who were members of the founding stock as immigrants, I say they are colonists, and I think there is a difference. But even if you concede, if you just say, okay, we're all immigrants. Immigrants came over here from Europe. As he said, so what? And he is so right to point out this, and then we're going to scoop. If everybody in China went into Japan, there would be no more Japanese people after a certain amount of time. They would be interbred out of existence. Their culture would cease to exist. And that's what's happening here. Everybody that Obama swore in on the 4th of July when he made this Nation of Immigrants comment were non-white. And there's nothing wrong with being non-white, but if you're going to come to this country and as they are not coming here to be traditional Americans. When you thought of an American prior to 1965, you thought of a white person. You thought of a white Christian. You thought of somebody that celebrated the traditions of our people on this continent over the years, Thanksgiving and Christmas and things like that. So, you know, if we get just overwhelmed, which we are, with people from non-white countries, we're not going to have an America anymore as we knew it. And that's something worth preserving, I think, because this country truly was a great, the American experiment as given to us by our founding fathers was truly a testament to mankind. One of the greatest all-time things that men have ever put together. Anyway, let's go to Peter Scoop Stanton. What do you got for us tonight, my friend?
Good evening, James and the Cecil family, and our new listeners from the Open Anthony fan base, including Frederica Bemmel, Uncle Paul Hargis, Steve from Yellowstone, Ted Sheckler, Ace Sherbert, Edgar, Chip Chipperson, and Treehouse Eric. As you all know, last week I talked a little bit about what happened a week and a half ago to Anthony Cumia, half of the Open Anthony show. He was at Times Square one evening, and he decides to take some pictures of the most famous intersection in the planet. And a black woman came up to him. He was taking pictures of the lady, just, you know, going about her business. And she came up to him and started cursing at him and started hitting him. So Mr. Cumia, who's licensed to carry a firearm in the Five Boroughs of New York, did not draw down on the lady. He simply just walked away, didn't even hit her back. So he took to Twitter to explain his displeasure. Some of the tweets include, savage violent animal, blanking prey on white people, easy targets. It is really open season on white people in this day and age. Fight back and you're a racist. The predators know this, good luck. And there's a deep-seated problem with violence in the black community. Try to address it and you'll be exiled through Racistville, but it is real. And he said some other tweets that are not fit for family listening. So, XM, that received actually no complaints from anybody, including the victim who was unknown, decided to fire Mr. Cumia right around Independence Day. Needless to say, there's been a backlash like you would not believe. First off, there's been mass cancellations. What people have been doing is calling the Philippine Island customer service area, customer service center in Campbell. they've also been lodging complaints, and they've been taking to social media. One thing that the Open Anthony fans do is like to go to Facebook during October for a bit called Jocktober for some awful morning radio programs and put the most horrible, awful, horrendous, pornographic, obscene things, and personally it is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life. So what they've been doing on social media is replacing their avatars on Twitter and Facebook with pictures of Mr. Cumia, and then putting hashtags such as Stand With Anthony, Justice For Anthony, I Stand With Anthony, and Cancel SiriusXM. Also, they've been going on social media to tell investors, drop SiriusXM as a stock. Yours truly also put that up, and of course the media caught on. One webpage, I can't remember, posted a whole bunch of tweets saying drop SiriusXM stock. It's going to be for Anthony Cumia because it will drop like a stone. And sure enough, they put up my tweet. And the price of SiriusXM stock has been slowly declining. It's about 2% over the past week. Now, yours truly also wrote a letter to the head of SiriusXM, which I'll read in the next commercial break. And thousands and thousands of fans came to Cumia's defense, including famous people. One of them, comedian Ralphie May, who does not see eye to eye to Mr. Cumia. Joe Rogan, who's also a comedian and a host of various TV shows and a play-by-play announcer for the UFC, and comedian Rich Voss. Some people did not support Mr. Cumia, including co-worker Mark Goodman. He posted on Twitter that he was glad that Mr. Cumia is no longer with the company. So, I
Scoop. Hold up right there, buddy. When we come back, we're going to continue your report on the firing of Anthony Cumia from the Opie and Anthony show, nationally syndicated talk show, right after this.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Today is an important day. It's your day to be ready, take care of your family, and buy your emergency food supply from the Freeze Dry Guy. Because today, the Freeze Dry Guy introduces our Mountain House and Packaway 1-month food supply. Today, get the Freeze Dry Guy's 30-day premium unit, normally $364, sale priced at $263, save $101. Buy two cases, normally $727, sale priced at $506, save $222. Or choose three 30-day premium units, normally $1,091, now only $748, save $343. From the Freeze Dry Guy. These premium units are packed with the highest quality Mountain House entrees, meats, vegetables, and Packaway brand freeze dried pineapple and dehydrates, such as milk, ABC stew, and rolled oats, 289 half cup servings. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48. Hurry, our Mountain House and Packaway 1 month supply sale ends soon. So call now, 866-404-3663.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we have shifted gears temporarily here from immigration. We will refocus on the invasion during the third hour tonight with Eddie the Bombardier Miller, the most important story in the country right now, as they are really ratcheting up the onslaught here of third worlders coming in illegally, of course, into our country and across our borders. But first, we are talking with Peter Scoop Stanton for the remainder of this hour about the firing of Anthony Cumia of the Opie and Anthony Show. Scoop has always been a fan of the Opie and Anthony Show. I don't know how many people in our audience have listened to it. I must say that I have never, but I know that Scoop loves them, and I certainly know who they are and how big they are. But as Scoop mentioned quite well in the previous segment, Mr. Cumia was in Times Square taking pictures in New York, and I guess this black woman who just so happened to be walking down the road thought he was taking pictures of her. I mean, who knows what triggers them in a case like this, but she went over and started accosting Mr. Cumia and cussing him and hitting him. And I think shortly thereafter, it was a gang of about four or five blacks joined in, not physically beating him, but, you know, certainly making themselves known as a threat. And he left and, you know, got out of that situation. And as Scoop mentioned, took to Twitter and said the things that Scoop said he said, that, you know, there's a problem with black violence. White people can't fight back or they'll be banished to racist field. You can't say anything about it, so on and so forth. And he said a lot of things, and he said some colorful things. You know, it was profanity laced in a moment of, you know, intense emotion. He certainly said some things. You know, he didn't use the dreaded N-word, so don't think that. But God forbid you use that word after you get attacked. But no, he did use a lot of profanity, though. And he was summarily fired. He was fired very quickly by SiriusXM, despite being one of their biggest breadwinners. And there's a huge backlash taking place. And Scoop's been in touch with some of the people associated with that program this week. And I know Scoop has done some tweets and got picked up by the mainstream media. And the story continues now that I've reset the table. Scoop?
Okay, thanks, James. Back to Mark Goodman. Mark Goodman was the original VJs on MTV 30 years ago. And he has a show on SiriusXM called on 80s on 8, or this is Channel 8. So he voices happiness with Mr. Cumia's demise from the company. And also Mr. Goodman does commercials every 6 months where he's in front of a button and it says, and he pushes the button, activates all the deactivated SiriusXM receivers, so you get free SiriusXM for a month, a weekend, and then they want you to re-register for service. So anyways, I was upset with Mr. Goodman and wrote, "I hope the next button you push on camera is to a suicide machine." His response was, "Nice, thanks." My response on Twitter was, "Don't forget, 30 years ago, people wanted to pull you and MTV off the air because of content." The next Twitter tweet for me was, "Because of the radio show I'm a part of, my brothers in arms have received death threats." But Mr. Goodman has not replied back to me. Also, some people who've been silenced besides the mainstream media is Shauna Hannity, who's been had Mr. Hughes and Mr. Cumia on the show, and has called in. Also, Don Imus, who got in trouble for saying some things that another SiriusXM employee, Al Sharpton, raised holy hell about, and he's been silent. And so yours truly had, you know, have to be the whole blanket media. Here's an open letter I put on Twitter, on Facebook, on my blog, and send it to the heads of SiriusXM. Due to time constraints, I'm going to just get to the short and sweet. To whom it may concern, I'm Scoop Stanton. I've been a subscriber since 2009. I broke down and purchased satellite radio to primarily listen to the Opie and Anthony Show. As a local radio show in the Virginia Beach, Virginia area, did a radio bit ripping off radio legend Phil Henry. I've been listening to the Opie and Anthony Show on and off since the late 1990s, and they're a big reason why I got into radio. Since I've been a subscriber, I've been more and more disappointed. First, your customer service in the Philippines is deplorable. Secondly, your online feed, which I'm paying actually doesn't work. I tried so many times to get it to work. I was unsuccessful. I've totally given up. Ditto for the app for the smartphones, and I've only listened to SiriusXM in the car. My wife bought a car, and it was a nightmare trying to get subscription to both vehicles. The Opie and Anthony Show is one of your two anchor shows for your network, the other being Howard Stern. SiriusXM has treated Opie and Anthony and its listeners with contempt. The Opiniente Show is a small, antiquated radio studio, despite having A-list celebrity guests. The show has some of the poor sound quality of a mainstream radio show. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Michael Savage, Howard Stern never have constant microphone and telephone issues. Plus, Michael Savage has numerous studios in the San Francisco area. Opiniente do not have the video feed, despite some great groundbreaking radio with superstar guests. As for fan interaction, once every 6 to 12 months, you'd have a live appearance somewhere in the U.S. Hughes and Cumia want to do a bus tour from two brands in Missouri from New York. Fans around the country ready to willing and able to mobilize at every stop to Branson. That never materialized. Then they wanted to do a cruise with fans, but SiriusXM demanded tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars up front as for some reason. Howard Stern has a large modern studio with state-of-the-art equipment, website, video, and was partaking in a lavish birthday party with Hollywood celebrities. This is the same man who sued SiriusXM for hundreds of millions of dollars of stock. Now you fired Anthony Cumia for some tweets stemming from him being a victim of hate crime. Mr. Cumia did not make any threats to anyone, did not assault anyone, or even type in the dreaded N-word, despite your other personalities that use that word constantly. Mr. Cumia did not wish for his listeners to start a race riot or burn down the city of New York like Reverend Al Sharpton. Sincerely, Peter Scoopstein, Washington, D.C., scores by the Political Cesspool Radio Show.
Well done. Good letter. You know, and this is, again, I don't know how many people in our audience are, aware of the Opie Anthony Show, but I don't know how many people in our audience bought the products of Paula Deen. But when you see cultural Marxism in its terminal stage, and people are able to lose their livelihood. Now, Anthony Cumia has made millions and millions of dollars as a talk radio host, so you can't cry crocodile tears for him as far as that goes. But, you know, Paula Deen said the N-word, 30 years ago after she had been robbed at gunpoint by a black man. She admitted that she said it for whatever reason. You know, she was being honest. You know, and you say, well, you know, don't use tacky words. Don't be rude. I mean, my God, what's the statute of limitations? I guess there's only two things for which there's not a statute of limitations, saying the N-word and murder. But, I mean, you know, we're not encouraging anybody to use crude language, but, you know, Anthony here, Cumia didn't even use it. He just said some very common sense things. He was upset at being attacked the way he was and experiencing the joys of diversity in the manner that he did. And now he's gone. I mean, you basically, if you get attacked by a black person, you either say nothing about it or just say how wonderful the experience was, or you're gone. And Paula Deen and Anthony Cumia are two examples of this having happened. Now, I think Deen is back, and Cumia will land on his feet somewhere. He's too big not to ever get a job in radio, particularly for this. I mean, as far as the crimes of political correctness goes, Deen committed a capital offense, and she's already back and got a lot of her contracts back. So he'll be back. But, you know, all of these things, when they happen, they love to send these messages. And it's not just racial anymore. I mean, now you can't even oppose sodomy from a biblical, Christ-centered perspective without facing the same, as we saw with Phil Robertson and the Duck Dynasty people. You can't even righteously oppose the sin of homosexuality without facing the ruination of your career and public scorn by the godless jackals that run our national media. And that is what Scoop is talking about tonight, folks. That's why we bring it to your attention, whether you're fans of this guy and the Opening Anthony Show or not, whether you're fans of Paula Deen or any of these other people who have suffered over the years. You should not lose your livelihood for things like this. They committed no crime. Even Deen. You know, for what she did, and to say again, you know, don't use crude words that you know, but should she have lost millions of dollars because of that? When you know, you want to talk about real racism and real bigotry, try to be a white Christian male. I mean, the mock and scorn and ridicule heaped upon white Christian males, particularly those of us from the South. There is real hatred in the media today, and it's not coming from any of these people from which examples have been made. It's coming from, you know, you can openly hate and advocate against and say the most vile things against certain people. And it's seen as it's comedy. It's seen as great stuff. A double standard, the likes of which is unbelievable. If you weren't in the know or have never listened to this show before, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Scoop, a couple of minutes, final word to you.
Well, back to SiriusXM, they fired Anthony Cumia for, stating the truth and not using the N-word. Meanwhile, they play songs that do use the N-word and other other words, not suitable for family ears. And they have personalities that drop N-bombs all day, every day.
Right, right. On satellite radio, which is quote-unquote uncensored. Yes, they do.
Right. And then this is going to bite SiriusXM in the backside because everybody and their brother is jumping ship. And even legitimate news people are saying they're going to lose about $3 million, but I think it's going to be a lot more.
Well, Scoop, we'll pick this up next week. We're out of time for this hour, and we'll have a follow-up on this next week when you rejoin us. Folks, second hour coming right up.